Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast,
Parenting
Young Adults with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we have, as usual, a number of topics that we'd like to talk about. And the first one that we're going to discuss is this new situation where Amazon indicated that if you had Alexa, Echo, Ring, any of those kinds of devices, unless you opted out, they were automatically going to begin sharing your internet with your neighbors. Now, I'm sure it comes as no surprise that I don't have any of those. I didn't get Ring because I didn't want to share to the cloud every visitor that comes to my home, as well as people walking in front of my home within the viewing of that camera. And I don't have Alexa, Echo, or anything like that because I already knew that those things were listening even when you believe you've turned them off. Mm-hmm. And in my own home, I would like privacy. So I don't have any. But Tora, did you have some? And if so, how were you able to?
I definitely have the Ring. I love the Ring. I'm connected to everything dealing with the Ring. I have Ring neighbors. So we share, you know, hey, did you hear why the police were down the street with the helicopter flying in the air for, you know, there's shootings nearby, all of that. We share all of that. My found a cat. Does anybody lose a dog? All of that. So we have that and I love it. I love the fact that if I'm away from the house, I can look and see the mailman bringing a package and I can say, hey, don't drop that off at the house. We're not there. Can you take it until we come back? I love it. However, I do not like someone knowing my information. That to me, when I looked into it, was just, we're not going to do that. No one has the right to turn my Ring on, look at what I'm looking at. I don't like any of that, you know?
You mean you're aware that it's getting uploaded to the cloud anyway, though, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, but it's for, if the police need to see it, then it's okay. You know, if they're looking for a criminal who broke into a house and they need to see what my Ring saw, fine. But just an average Joe,
an option to have other people
right
the Ring as well,
right? And I didn't like that, so we opted out. And we did have Lexas, and the I think I mentioned this, we had Lexas in every room. So we would say, Lexa, play this. Lexa, what's this question? Arguments we have in the house, we like, okay, Lexa, you know, how many people in the world right now? Anything. Before I unplugged all of them and threw them in the trash, I didn't even say I'm gonna, you know, take them back or whatever. I just threw them away. And we had ones in all of our bedrooms. The reason why I threw them away, I heard a complete husband and wife conversation. And it was about, it was something about, well, what we're gonna do about daycare, you know, because the husband was working remote from home and the wife wasn't, and she wanted to start going back to work and she was a teacher. I know everything about their business. And I was just like this the whole time. I couldn't believe I was listening to the conversation. And then I was hoping that they could hear me going, hello, hello, hello. They couldn't hear me, but I could hear them.
Because I was going to tell them. Were though, right? You just,
I have no clue who this couple were. No clue. I do know it sounded like the man was from like Indian descent. You know, he had that pitch, you know, and the woman sounded like she could have been borderline born here, but also of the same nationality. And the way they were talking, they were saying things that it was getting really personal, you know. They were like, we don't want to send our kid to a Catholic school, we don't believe in their values. And I was just like, is this a TV show? At first I thought it was a TV show that was tapped into one. So I went and looked at me and Victoria computers and the TVs. It was a real couple having a conversation that I could hear and had tapped into my one in my room, my Alexa. I said, that's it. Cause I know things that I say in my house, I don't need nobody else getting a hold of that. You hear what I want you to hear.
Right.
But I unplugged and threw it away. I told Antoine what happened. Like, I recorded it on my phone so he could see where it was playing from. And I said, I threw him away. He was like, what in the world? I said, so do you imagine how many conversations people heard of us? Like, what if they were having an intimate night? You know what I'm saying? We're listening to that. Or I'm correcting my kids and somebody thinking, you know, oh, heck no, I need to find out who this person is and play it for the news. And I'm, oh, I know that voice. You know what I'm saying? No, I was like, we're not doing this. So I'm definitely, I'm not on board with that. I'm not on board with sharing my information. I knew Big Brother was going to be watching us, and I know Big Brother's listening to us. I know it. It's, everybody knows it now. They even admitting it now. But I'm just not okay with everything. I'm not doing anything illegal, but I'm just not okay with random people just listening to an everyday private conversation.
Yeah, I think that some, quite a while ago, last year, if not before, I had been made aware that Amazon had a room full of people who were really just sorting through all those conversations and everything from the Alexas and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that just goes fundamentally against what it is that I desire. Mm-hmm. I know Big Brother's watching and listening, but my philosophy is I don't have to help them.
No.
So, like, I don't want a ring. I think we just, and I think that you and I probably go on different sides of the fence, as mm-hmm. do many Americans. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I would never, I would never have a Fitbit. I don't want anything monitoring and recording mm-hmm. when I sleep, mm-hmm. how many miles I walk, what my movement is. I have digital scales. I don't want it transferred to that. Mm-hmm. I don't want Ring uploading to the cloud my information. I don't want any of that in my life. And I know that it's happening. I know that the cell phone is, in fact, a monitoring device.
Yes.
And I did actually buy a very small pay-as-you-go phone where you just get the little card from
that. I have that too.
So that I can leave this crap here. I have mm-hmm. two of these stupid iPhones and I could leave them here. And when I go out, people have my emergency number and they can contact me, because Amazon, Facebook, all those people don't need to know everywhere I go. They record whether you get out your car, how long you're in the location. It's just too much.
What store you go in?
Everything. Yeah. And so my thing is, yeah, there's satellites and there's this, that, and the other, and there's smart TVs. I try to cover that thing. I think I probably have covered that camera on there, but I know that in so many ways they are monitoring us, and my position is I'm not helping you. I'm yeah. going to prevent it and have a zone of privacy.
Do you feel unsafe, or you just don't want anybody in your business?
Yeah, I feel like mind your business. I'm not committing any crimes, of course.
Right. Right.
I'm not, it's just personal.
Right.
It's nobody's business what I talk about, who I allow to come into my home, who I exclude from my home, if I'm having intimate relations or intimate conversations or whatever I'm doing. I was raised during a period where we had privacy. And in fact, when I started law school, there was case law on a zone of privacy. Now, all that Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, all of that, we were back then entitled to a zone of privacy. And I would still like to maintain mine.
Do you think not only were we privileged to have privacy, but we was also privileged to have trust? Because we had to trust a lot of things to move about in our world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can look and see what time your bus is coming. But back in the day, you had to trust that your bus was going to come on time. You can actually
have a schedule on the thing.
Huh?
Didn't they have the schedules on the bus stop?
Yeah, they had the schedule, right? But you didn't know. I've seen times I sat at the bus stop for 45 minutes and the bus never came. Okay. But that was back in the day before technology. Now you have the actual bus driving to you and you can see him. Okay, he stopped on this road. Okay, he stopped on, and he'll be here in 5 minutes. So, you know, you could either run out your house or you already can be there. You know, just like with your Uber, you know, you can watch your Uber drive to you. So I feel like that was a level of trust we had in the world that is gone now. And it's not fun. It's not fun.
So I don't think that that was a level of trust. I think that we were just operating in the system that we had available. You mm-hmm. know what time the bus is supposed to come. You have to go there. Sometime the bus will come early.
And it would come early.
Missed it, even you missed though it. You were at that stop. But that exactly. was the way life worked. I think that we were not privileged to have privacy. I think we're entitled to privacy. And I think that what is happening now is an infringement of our privacy. I do appreciate the advances of technology. I use GPS. I have these cell phones. I'm on the computer. I appreciate the things that they can bring. The problem I have is when they try to take over and do more than I want them to do, like the iPhones in particular, even making me, I have all Apple computers. I want to get kind of sort of get rid of all of them because they're doing too much. I don't, if I delete somebody's number, that means I don't want that in my phone anymore. If they happen to call me, I don't want you telling me it's maybe such and such. I just don't need that level of interference.
And did you know the green dot on your phone means they're listening?
It means you're recording. It means something's using your phone to record.
I didn't even know that. I saw that on TikTok the other day, and literally the green dot popped up today for the first time. Yeah.
You weren't trying to record something?
I wasn't recording anything, but what happened was we found the app that was recording me. Wow. We found the app on my phone, which was it was just like a photo app.
I was aware of that. I just think that it's all too much for me. Mm-hmm. I think a lot. So I'm not gonna put all that out there, but I will say to you that there are times when my computers cannot keep up with what I'm trying to do. So I don't like the suggestion that somehow a computer is more efficient or quicker or more proficient than I am, because it's all based on how we're designed and it's not better than us.
Well, you do know that Elon Musk wants to make our brains have a chip in it that can help.
That's exactly why I said that. I'm aware that he wants to merge artificial intelligence with humans, make us transhuman. Mm-hmm. And that's precisely why I said that. I don't know how anybody else's brain works, but I've been gifted with a really good one. And there are many times when I used to be a secretary and I'm going, and my computer just can't, I have to stop and say, okay, let me let this computer catch up. So why would I want that attached to my brain?
I think that's what he's looking for. Well, I don't know that's what he's looking for, but I think that's what the computer world is looking for. We have instincts and they have predictions. And I don't think that they merge together well. I think that our instincts and their predictions, like what's the odds of this happening? Well, they have that uploaded into it, but our instincts might not, we might feel something else about the situation. And I think they want to gather that information. I think they want that. And I think that's a spiritual side.
And then what you've got to realize is right now, we're just using a minuscule portion of our brains and capabilities. Yeah. For those of us who are conscious and who are constantly elevating our frequency, we will begin to use more and more. I don't need a computer, nor do I need to teach their computers how I'm designed. I don't like all of that. That doesn't sit well with me.
It upsets me too, because I feel like it's taking a gift away that's personally designed for us. Who told you that we are supposed to share this with some type of artificial thing? I do not, and I don't know what the avatar is that they're trying to create for whatever reason. I don't know if they think, like, if you're not gonna be here in 100 years or 300 years, why are you doing this? Unless you found a way to be here.
You know that show? I can't remember the name of it. It was on Amazon, I want to say. I don't think it was Netflix. I think it's Amazon. And it was about having avatars so that when this body passes away, they upload. Was it called upload? They upload your consciousness into that avatar, and you go into some retirement community based on how much you were able to pay. So typically when they start showing you stuff on TV and in the movies, these are things that they either, usually they have the capability and have had it for some time by the time they start showing it. So
art always imitates life. Yeah, I believe
that. I think that they reveal what, I can't have all those conversations, but I just think that, it's possible that they may be looking to do that.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I definitely believe it, because there are people in the world who want their great grandkids to know who they were based off the story of what they've been told. Like, can you imagine if they had a Christopher Columbus avatar telling us he discovered the United States under those sugarcoating ways he claimed he discovered it? Like, they really think that sticks better than a statue. You can't, Like, you could tear down that statue and get rid of it like they've been doing, thankfully. I'm so proud. I don't know about other people, but I'm one of those people who, I'm good the statues are leaving.
But now I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm concerned now. I saw somewhere a few months ago where somebody said, oh, we were celebrating victories from having all those statues around the world removed, but what they're really trying to do is cover up and whitewash history. So you remove those statues, you remove the evidence of those kinds of things, those racist generals and all of that. And then now, well, I don't know if you saw it, but now they're having some bills in Congress where they don't want Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey.
Oh, I saw that.
People like that.
They want them removed.
So all that's a whitewashing effort. If you get rid of all the abolitionists and all the people who wanted to elevate our race or do any work on behalf of our race, you get rid of all the statues of the Confederate generals and the racists around the world who were colonized and enslaved and whatever people, then you're hard pressed. See, we remember. Our kids barely remember.
Yeah, yeah.
One more generation, they won't know.
No.
So it's easy to kind of, you know, they're very good at controlling what we think and how we, not how we think, but what we think. And so once the person said that, I just kind of was like, that's interesting. Then when I saw that bill, I was like, looks like they're on point. There's a certain effort to rewrite history, starting it with our generation. So,
I mean, you think about Barack Obama was the president for 8 years of a child, new child's life. That to me always just, he doesn't know any better other than a black man ruled the world. So that can change the whole trajectory of life for a Caucasian kid, an Asian kid, or, you know, a person growing up in racist United States, which I believe United States is racist. But anyway, I think it can change it. And I think some people don't want that change. They don't want that soft-hearted, hey, what's the problem? He was such a great guy. He did, you know, he was a wonderful person. Why do you feel this way about the people that look like him?
But the question is, why are they trying to change history? That's the question for me. So when they first brought down the
change history or keep history the way they want it?
Rewrite it. So what they're trying to do, and I think this ties into what you wanted to discuss maybe about Western countries apologizing to Africa for slavery.
Yes.
There's some effort to rewrite history as we know it and to minimize what happened in slavery and in colonization. When those statues first came down, I was thinking, great, because they're psychologically oppressive to us. I thought all that stuff, but I don't think that now. I just think that, you know, they have such a head start, such white people I'm talking about, whoever it is that's running, that's governing the globe, they have a head start on us. They have access to everything. They've been planning this stuff forever. Some of us are really just waking up.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of question everything they do. And when you think it's good, it turns out bad. When you think it's bad, it turns out good.
So that's what I was asking you when you said rewrite, because we already know they did not build the pyramids and they rewrote that history.
Yep.
Elizabeth Taylor built the pyramids and people look like her built them according to them. So are you saying revert?
Charlton Heston is Moses.
Yes, Charlton Heston is Moses. So are you saying that they're reverting back to changing history to the original? Okay, we have put King Tut back in Egypt. We are letting you all see that he's black as cold. So clearly he must have been.
What I mean is, you know, white people get really upset when we remind, you see it on TikTok and social media, when we remind them of what they've done across the globe to all the people.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to change history so that it doesn't reflect the evilness and the horror and the trauma they perpetrated.
But that just came out. That's not like, I didn't grow up off them being savages in history. And I'm not saying other people didn't learn that. I mean, for my age group, and the people that I know around me, maybe my parents knew because they lived it, but they didn't tell us it. So from my age group, I'm only talking about, and my kids' experience, they weren't, or we weren't shown or told the Savages until now.
You didn't watch Roots? You didn't watch those slavery movies? You didn't see 12 Years a Slave recently? You didn't see Sounder? You didn't see all that stuff with those people living?
Believe it or not, being
sharecroppers and slaves?
All of those movies, okay? I saw all of those movies, and for it to, even my kids, you know, Alex Haley is my children's, I mean, Chris Haley is Alex Haley's son, and he's my kid's godfather. And he's made them like learn their Black history. He's a historian, but it doesn't hit us the same way, I think, mentally as it probably should have. It didn't hit like they're like that. Like they did that. It didn't seem, it seemed horrible and it seemed hurtful. But it didn't seem like, I can't gather the words I'm trying to use.
String it all together and make the conclusion that that's how. Because see, when I saw Roots, I wanted to hurt somebody.
Wow.
Like a child around my, it was horrifying to me, them seeing them getting whipped.
So you took that road.
And all of that, that was bad. Okay.
Now, do you know, I can understand what you're saying, being as though now I'm enlightening myself. I can hear how you took that road. I took the road of how horrible they were treated. Not I was treated. Not me and mine.
Well, not how horrible were the people who did it, but just how horrible did those people experience that?
That's exactly all I felt and saw. Now that I'm woke, of course, and it's hard for me to watch stuff like that. Like I did watch, I'm not gonna lie to you. I just watched Amistad and 12 Years of Slave in 2000 during the COVID pandemic, you know, because everybody caught up on all, but I took the nerve and watched it and I was afraid. And the reason why I was afraid to watch it, because I'm awoke now. I don't know how I feel about those emotions, seeing and believing and understanding what trauma Black people went through. A man who was free and was put into bondage and slavery and tortured.
That's crazy.
I can't imagine that story being true. And it was, you know what I mean? Like the voice that I carry and the voice he didn't carry and couldn't carry, I can't relate that to me to make it real. You know what I'm saying? So it stays, how could he be, how did that happen to him? How could they do that to him? That's where it goes with me. I don't go to the anger part of, if I was born back in those days, I'd take one out with me. I couldn't live that. Like, I'm not there.
I don't go to that.
No. I'm saying it's people now who are saying, and it's, they're showing the proof. There are people fighting back now. Like there are people who are like talking to the police like, no, you will not George Floyd me. You will not do this. I mean, there are people standing their grounds and I feel like I'm that person. So I can side more with them. Like I will not take the bait.
But you may have hit on something because most people didn't realize that white people killed more than 1 million buffalo in 1 year so that Indians would have to depend on the American government to
eat
them. All the kinds of really horrific things they did, which are now coming to light, which if they whitewash history, maybe the effort is to put that veil back over
people's
eyes.
But also, if you haven't had that experience with white people, it's hard for you to fathom who that person was. It makes you think that person was a Jeffrey Dahmer, just a crazy A person. You know what I'm saying? You can't relate that to the everyday white person you encounter and grew up with.
So, because it wasn't one white slave owner. It wasn't one white who
captured
the ships from Africa to the South Americas, North America, all the places they took them. It was like a whole bunch of white people who said, you're 3/5 of a human. It was not one person. If it was one incident and one person, then I would feel more like what you're saying, like, oh, that's just, because there is that. There's just those evil people, that group of people.
Right.
It was all of them back then. They got their food and brought their kids to watch Black people being lynched.
And when I watched those photos, and I've watched those photos that have, I've looked at the little girls looking up at the man's exposure of his private parts out because of the people who lynched him decided that was even amusing to look at. And I often thought, And I don't know, maybe this is something that my body was gifted with, but I always look at the person like, what else trauma has that person suffered for you to think that that is okay to look at and your parents allow you to look at that?
You thought that about that whole group of people that came out there to watch a lynching. You thought, what trauma did they suffer to make it seem okay to turn lynching a black man into amusement or entertainment?
And that's what goes, that, and that's, I don't know why I'm like that. My brain has always been like that. But I look at them and I think to myself, like, are you missing chromosomes? Are you incest children? Because I know you can be screwed up, you know, inbreeding like that. What makes you so animalistic? But, and I shouldn't even insult an animal like that, but what makes you so barbaric that that is normalized to you? What happened to you to make, because something had to happen. If you just born with love and TLC and everything is good, there's nothing inside of you that can turn that savage that you can look at that and then allow your children to look at that without looking down at your child going, am I traumatizing my child? You know?
I always thought it was their race. I always thought all that Ku Klux Klan burning, and I wasn't alive for it, but we saw it on TV and they made sure we saw it over and over and over. And they made sure we saw it so that we could feel bad about who we were. But the other thing that I saw when they showed that is, man, these people are really horrible. Look at those Ku Klux Klan members burning crosses and threatening people and calling people the N-word. Look at them lynching black people. Look at them enslaved. They enslaved people. They stole them from their homeland and brought them over here. I always thought, man, these are some really horrible people. Now, throughout the course of my life, I interacted with certain white people that I thought were great. And I still have some that I think are phenomenal.
Exactly.
And I think that at certain times in my life, that wasn't at the forefront of my mind all the time. You just go through times where you're just more conscious than others. Other times you're in a different environment, you let that out your head and you deal with the situation you're presented with. But I think always in the back of my mind, I just thought they were horrible.
I know the situation was horrible, but I couldn't figure out how to make myself understand that that person was the cause and the reaction to what I was feeling. I couldn't put myself in the, I couldn't connect the two, because I kept saying to myself over and over again, every situation that I heard, every picture that I saw, I mean, that traumatized me. And made me feel sad for that person that I saw the spike metal so their neck would break if they, every, all of that I absorbed. Who could do this to you, and what would they, what would make them think that that was okay to do that to you? So I couldn't associate that person with a human. And I think something about my human and my soul is connected, because I can't associate person who would do that to somebody as human.
But I think, for me, I've learned some things about them. I understand they're really not like us. Mm-hmm. I understand that everybody on this earth came from us, that life originated in Africa. Mm-hmm. And we migrated to East Asia and other places where we settled, and other races came from that. What we consider races, because obviously it's one race. They all come from us. It starts here, it ends here.
Right.
But what we talk about race now all comes from us, and I understand that, but I am clear that those, I don't know, I see things differently than you, and I have learned that they're not exactly like us. There's studies, and I don't want to say this, I haven't said this to anybody, but I would just say there's studies out there that reveal that white people have a part of their biological makeup that we don't have. We only have human components.
So I would say I've been hearing that lately.
In the last 6 months, I didn't always know that. In the last
six months, it's been about a 6 month thing. I've heard that too.
Yeah, I became aware they really aren't like us. Not exactly like us. And I have always been aware that we have always seemed more soulful, more spiritual, more humane, more just, we're not them.
Yeah.
So I always understood that they were different from us, but I didn't know why. I still don't exactly know why. But no, I always saw them as really bad. And I think that they're trying to do away with some of the evidence. If we don't have in our history books any discussion of colonization of Africa, enslavement of Africans in the Americas, then that allows them, they're very good at presenting another story. different from what is true. And that will allow them over time to change the narrative of what happened in this world, because with each generation, we don't pass it along. They're not going to know.
Television is. Tell a vision. Mm-hmm. Tell a vision. Yep.
So but I don't think that it'll work. But I'm just saying I see what they're trying to do. Normally, we never saw anything. We all got turned into consumers. I was watching something recently that said the point of education, as Rockefeller initiated it and instituted it, was to turn us into people who would go and work for a living and to turn us into consumers. Mm-hmm. And that around the time he started that educational system, most people had about two pair of pants.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? We became consumers, obey, consume, all of that work for us. And we had no clue, myself included, everybody. There's some people that I listen to that clearly seem to be awake. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, but I surely didn't see anything. And sometimes I look back and say, man, how did I not see some of this?
Well, that's what we were talking about in our last conversation on our podcast with Tammy, because she grew up in a household where her parents saw her go to get an education and then get a good job. I didn't grow up with either. I didn't grow up with get a good education. I didn't grow up with get a good job. So I was free falling to do whatever my heart desires. And that wasn't good. I'm not saying that in a braggadocio, saying that it was horrible for me, but it left me to be creative because I had to, because I didn't have any structure or guidance from my family. You know, if I made good grades, I made them. It was no celebration. It was no keep motivation. It was none of that. So I didn't know either way whether it was a good or bad thing. So I feel like with the Caucasian race and the Black race, I feel like our soul comes from free falling, you know what I mean? But also, if you have parents that have structure, then you got the best of both worlds. I feel like that world is so structured that they don't know when to laugh, to cry, to smile. Like if you look at the white
world, you mean the white world?
When I talk about white world, and I say white world, not just meaning Caucasian world, I say white world meaning the whitewash of the world. If you look at a Caucasian person smile or laugh, you can tell when it's not genuine, you know, when it's forced. Like almost like when they say that their kid's been killed or kidnapped and we're looking at them on the news, Black people get it right 100%. I'm sorry. We'd be like, oh, they killed their kid. Oh, they kidnapped their own kid. Oh, they pushed their own kid in the water in the car.
I don't always get that, but I know what you're talking about.
I always get it right. I can genuinely tell when that woman is really suffering and her child is missing, or she knows what really happened to her child.
Maybe because I don't really watch the news. So when I see a snippet, I just don't know, because I don't want to see anymore. And I'm like, okay, check, got that.
Right. And me and my kids always have been like into that type of stuff. So I feel like soulfully, their world is so structured that they can't even naturally, you know, if they harm their child, you know what I'm saying? That they, like the woman who pushed her kids into the water and said a Black man did it. And they actually found the Black
car
man.
Or that van or something.
Yeah, but he did. There was never a Black man at all. She did it herself because she was trying to be with someone, you know, someone else. So,
and they're quick to blame a Black person because you know why? Everybody's quick to believe it.
Everybody's quick to believe it.
Why not just blame one?
So why not blame them? But every Black person in the world was screaming, she did that. She was not crying. She was not really tearful. You know, she, you know, whatever. We all saw it because we know how we act and we know how we feel. And I just feel like that component got missed in the whitewash of their history. I feel like if they had told the truth, even to their very own, that look, y'all, we took a lot of stuff. We didn't really invent a lot of stuff. We did do some good.
Hardly anything at all.
Right. We did some things. We invented some things. But for the most part, I really think that they would be more like, oh, okay, well, so we have the opportunity to grow and get better then, huh? We have, because.
That's a good point, because you know, now they're misled into believing that they're more than they are.
Think about it. In your work field or in your life in school, how many times have you seen a white person given a bone when they didn't deserve it? And you're like,
many times.
Come on.
And you know what I just read too? I don't know how we got on this topic of this whole thing, but I just read that studies consistently show when you have a white baby and a black baby, the black baby talks earlier, walks early, calls early.
Yeah, and white people are admitting to that now. That was a white man who said that. They're admitting. We know it though. We know.
I never knew that. For really? All my life, I knew that we were superior somehow, even though they try to make us seem less. But I didn't really know that in almost every area, we outperform them naturally.
Yes.
No benefits, no head start like yes. they did. And because, you know, they get superior prenatal. Well, we probably got really good prenatal care. But I mean, in terms of the country as a whole, they get superior prenatal care, superior care for their babies and when they're in the hospital and all of that.
Yeah.
And so they already have a head start, and still in every category, we outperform them. I didn't know that.
Maya Angelou, I didn't know we rise. I always naturally.
I didn't know that fundamentally.
I always knew
just
that.
Do better. And I didn't know that our babies, I didn't know that. Let me just say that.
I always knew we did everything great. And, but I also always knew they could do their homework and do it also, but it'll never, ever, and no, I don't care how many times we come back, it'll never have the seasoning we put on it. Like they can might dance as good as Michael Jackson and look so entertaining, but you just don't got that seasoning. You missing some seasoning salt.
Not to mention that you're copying what he did instead of going out and being inspired and making your own dance.
Right. And that's because of the seasoning.
You're black missing people and white people.
That's what I feel like. Like you can cornrow hair just like the Africans, but you missing some seasoning. You don't have it all down. Like I'm telling you, I've always noticed that my whole entire life. It starts with our hair. Like you could go to the hair cuttery and get a blowout and they like, oh, I can't blow this out. I don't know.
It's too thick. I don't know.
Yeah. And my thing is, it doesn't even register. Right. In our brains, it's like, it's hair. We can do your hair and our hair. How can you not do both? And that's just the way life is. They can't do both.
And you know, I think
they can learn.
Everything has been presented. It's there. But we didn't get it because it's a little flipped. So when they would say black people have to do twice as good as them, be twice as good as them to get half as much, it's a little flipped. We are twice as good, but yeah. we're only getting half as much. But they
that's exactly like, what I heard when I hear this. I hear
no, that means you gotta study harder. You gotta
No. That's I felt like the presentation has to be twice as hard because we're not even looking for you or looking at you. I know what you're saying, but in my mind, because I guess that's how I function, when you tell me, well, you know, you got to do everything twice as hard because, you know, they already got 100 head steps of you. I never look at it like that. I look at it like as in you're not even considering me. So it's like 2D on a different world. Tootie, they weren't even looking for her. Kim Fields, they weren't looking for her. When she went in there, she stole their minds, even though her role was for a white person, she stole their minds. So it's not that she worked twice as hard. She came in with her gifted and her talent, and it was undeniable. And at some point, they had to say, look, y'all, this is undeniable.
But I felt the same thing too, and that's how I was raised when I was raised, that we have to be twice as good, do twice as much, just to be twice as good in order to get the same grades.
Our black people say that. And I've never.
But now I'm realizing we are just twice as good. They give it to you in a different way. They say it to you in a different way. Yeah. I'm saying those babies are twice as good, but they're making us feel like we have to do something to be twice as good. Yeah. And what I'm beginning to learn is that we just start off that way. It's just how it is.
And we don't have to put effort into, I mean, look at Simone Biles. This girl
is
killing.
So
she just got her second world. Like my thing
seventh.
Is
her seventh.
Yeah, seventh. Her seventh world champion. And she has no effort. People, they stopped and banned a skill that only two people can do in the world who happen to be males. She did it with effort as a female. So my thing is this.
Which was outrageous for them to do.
Well, come on. We that's what I was saying. How many times in life have you heard that they have to give them a bone before we can even get, you know, anything? Because you can't show that you're that great. That's what the person who said you have to work twice as hard meant. Because they're going to take it away from you regardless of how great you are, because they can't fathom your greatness shining so bright. And it's sad because you're only showing your kids that you're nothing. And that's all I've ever said to all the white people my kids have competed against. You're only showing your kids you're nothing. If they have to give you my trophy, my kid's trophy, they're showing you your kid is nothing. Tell your kid, no, leave that trophy there. No, I don't want it. You know, and I know I saw that girl beat me with breaks off of me. I'll get her. I'll work hard. I'll work hard,
learn the skill.
And I'll come back for her. But once you already told your kid, don't worry, we'll get you a trophy. You don't have to worry about it. It tells them, I'm never going to be nothing. I never can be great. You told me that. You showed me that.
And it also shows them I never have to be anything. All I have to do is flash my skin and I'll get whatever I want. I don't even have to try that hard.
But that's what creates the monster. The monster is created, and you cannot tell me that. The monster is created by acquiring something that is not meant for you to have. You have a sense of responsibility to take what's yours. But when something is given to you that was never supposed to be yours, it creates a monster. You're no longer human anymore. You know, it's no longer survival of the fittest. It's no longer of, you know, it's a dog eat dog world. And if you think that that is human, that's crazy. That's no part of a human at all. You know?
You know what's really interesting is that I have always been so happy to be Black, but the things that I've started to learn now just make me feel like, God, what an honor and a blessing. It doesn't matter if the world as it is right now doesn't recognize it, because I know we used to rule this world. Mm-hmm. I know that every ancient civilization that was created by us, and anything else took from that to become what it is. But now I just feel like, almost like I have a something like, oh, we're so.
Can you imagine can you imagine them thinking and you, what you just said? Can you imagine them thinking that, saying, that's what we've been suppressing all these years, that joy and pride, you know what I'm saying? That you,
and
you know,
if I'm black anybody and proud. Else that looks like us
yes.
understood what I'm beginning to understand, everything would change.
There's a white man who cornrowed his hair and he had everything. He had the voice of a Black man. He had everything. Only thing he didn't have was the skin color. And I think like a couple years back, they invented a pill to give white people melanin. And now he's Black. He's a light skin, but he's Black. Like, he might even be like our complexion, you know?
Really?
And he said he never wanted to be white from the day he knew he was a human being. And he said that was like an infant, like as a toddler. He would always say, I'm Black, I'm Black. And when he grew up, he was Black. He
found a world where he could be Black.
And it's almost like the girl who was, what's her name?
Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
She just made herself Black. There's another one too that they just recently caught that was teaching at an HBCU or doing some such thing. And she was just going for Black. They just declare they're Black and act accordingly.
And see, and this is all to the transgender community, everybody who's saying they want to identify. And it's like, at what point as women and Black people are we going to put our foot down? Because you have athletes now who want to compete with women as men, and you're saying to yourself, boy, bye. Like, stop it. I understand we want equality, but we ain't talking about on that level, because you are still a man. You
have the musculature and all of that of a man. Because, you know, did we say that before in those MMA fights? They were fracturing women's skulls by letting these transgender.
So what do we do? So do we say, you know what? You all go get the brakes beat off of y'all, since y'all don't want to speak up. And then we have a group of women over here that's speaking up saying, no, you're not Black. You're not a female. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to have to separate from y'all. You have your own over there and we're going to have our own over here.
I think that any woman who is put up against a man in a race, in a boxing match or anything like that, should just bow out, because you want to live to run or fight. Well, with the running, not so much, but with the fighting, you want to live to fight another day. I'll just
withdraw. Even track and field, there was a
title to you because there's no way you're going to be fracturing my skull.
Right.
You want to pretend that you're a woman.
But keep going back. Who's going to be Usain Bolt? What woman is going to beat Usain Bolt in his prime?
Right.
What woman is going to beat Michael Jordan in his prime? Come on. Like, at what point do we stop these games? Because to me, that I don't agree with Candace Owens, but I understand.
I understand.
She says, look, you're not going to make me crazy. I'm not saying what you're doing is crazy.
That's how she got us. We both watched that one conversation on TikTok and came on here. We're like, yeah, I have to agree with her. And then crazy. Yeah, she went all the way over to another level.
Yeah. And I don't know, that's her moments of insanity where I'm like, come on, Candace. I mean, I can agree with you on some things, but some things you just not make, it's not adding up, you know? Well,
it's really amazing how much they're pushing homosexuality and transgenderism. Like,
why is that?
I personally don't watch that much television, but lately, and when I do, it mm-hmm. tends to be a show that I've recorded on my DVR. So I skip right through the commercials and I don't see what they're promoting. But lately, like if I'm juicing or doing something and I just can't get over there and run, the commercials are women and women, men and men.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like.
Are you seeing men and men? Being black men and black men, because that's what I've been seeing.
I'm not sure. I'll have to pay attention. I just was thinking, why is this on every other commercial? Why are there no regular couples anymore?
And why are people afraid to speak on it? Why are people afraid to speak out on it? Like they say, oh, that's the same way if you see a white person dating a black person. Are you losing your mind?
Because they're making
it not the same.
People feel like they're homophobic and all that foolishness. But have you ever watched a show called House Hunters?
Yes, of course. I love House Hunters.
We used to watch that all the time. I don't watch it anymore. My mother says she stopped watching it because
I know why.
Now every couple is a woman and a woman or a man and a man. She said there was even a threesome.
The polyamory couple. She's right. Yeah.
Like I can't, and I don't. Wow. I mean, it's like
that's why I think I stopped too. It was always one gay male couple. It was always one.
Every now and then.
But now it's so normalized that it's to the point if you don't like that and you're uncomfortable with that, it's nothing wrong with you saying it. And I don't care. My kids tell me all the time, let people live and let them live their best life. And I'm trying. Like, I know y'all growing up in the free bird world. I call it the free bird world. And I said, I'm trying. I said, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, gay couples make sense to me. Gay couples and
I'm okay with it, but I'm not okay with it being shoved down our throat in every song, every TV show, every commercial, every movie. Like, cut it out.
It's uncomfortable when I'm not even comfortable with heterosexual stuff like that. So if you're making it, you know, gay, it's even worse to me because if I see a sex scene in a show, it better be quick, fast, and let's move on.
Especially if anybody's around. If it's just me, I might concede, but don't have people around. It makes you uncomfortable because it's too much intimacy.
It's too much. And my thing is this. When I keep seeing a man go down on another man in a show, and I'm like, you don't even do this with heterosexual.
On TV?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh wow.
Everybody kept telling me I had to watch the Ozark. I got up into that one point where the black man went down on this white man, and I was like, I'm not doing that.
That's too much.
And everybody keeps saying, well, go past that part, and it gets better. I'm like, yo, y'all don't understand to me. It's hard for me to feel like it's okay if I know that that's. I can't, maybe the storyline for a moment, but to me, what I feel like you're just doing it.
It's going to keep happening because.
Yeah, like when you're degrading, you're doing it as a degradation. Like, I feel like there's somebody behind the camera going, you know what I feel like doing today? I feel like letting the world see this black man go down on this Caucasian man in this movie and, you know, what it psychologically does to the, like, if I think that that's, if I feel, it's a difference if it's natural and I feel like, okay, this was a couple and they, you know, had a love scene and they moved past it. Oh, I'm so with that. Kudos. Because I do believe I'd rather a child be in a healthy home that with two loving people, no matter what sex they are, than an abusive household with heterosexual people. I'm a firm believer in that. But at the end of the day, if I feel like you're doing something and I feel like you're doing it in an overly hypersexual way, I'm off. You've turned me off. Because I feel like it's a way to do everything.
My kids are aware that homosexuality is being pushed on us. And it's only because I realized it very early and I started talking to them about it. Mm-hmm. And then we started seeing in that high school that there were some kids who thought they were different genders and all of that. And so we were able to relate that to how all of a sudden on every cartoon, every show, you see that.
When I heard it was on cartoons, I was done. I did not know that. Now, that's what I didn't know.
At least one of those children proved my point, because at least one of the, it was, I think it was a girl who wanted to be a guy. Mm-hmm. No, it was a, yeah, a girl who wanted to be a guy, but she's mm-hmm. still interested. It was some kind of bizarre thing. She was still mm-hmm. interested in the opposite sex. It was bizarre. But then toward the end, they said, oh yeah, such and such changed her mind. She's not transgender anymore. And I said, see, it's too early. You don't even know who you are to be talking about
the free bird world.
Yeah. So that's my kids are not really in the free bird world. I mean, they live it, and I don't think they have a problem with people who have a different orientation, but they are well aware that it's an agenda for these people are pushing this agenda on us.
But one time, this is what I feel. I felt like one time during our childhood, there was a hidden conversation you can have where you can say, okay, if a guy saw another guy and was like, dang, he's got muscles already and I'm all this little shrimpy up dude, you know, how do I ask him? How does he look like that without him thinking I'm looking at him? And without you pressing the fact that you must be gay. You was looking at his muscles, you must be gay. And he's like, no, that doesn't make me gay, right? That, like, I'm just asking because I want to look like him, but I don't know how to get like that because I look like this. I feel like that era they killed off. They made it dirty. And I felt like if a girl saw another girl with a nice shaped body, perky breast, tight booty, and she didn't have it. Maybe she was big, maybe she was small, but she looked at her. Now that girl says, you must be a dyke. You looking at me? Why are you looking at me? It's like, we can't even admire someone else and not be, you know, shoved down your throat. It's a gay thing. Everything is not gay. Some people can just admire a beautiful something and want that without
good. Go ahead, girl.
Yes. No, you're gay, Kim. You're gay, Kim. No. You said she looked good. How do you know she looked good? You must have been looking at her.
See, now that you mention it, what I think is that women, now it may be different now because mm-hmm. everybody is so gay, but I think that traditionally women have been able to admire other women without it being a problem. But I think that men, it was a double standard with that, with mm-hmm. a man saying that you couldn't say another man, you could say, oh, that suit is nice, mm-hmm. but you mm-hmm. couldn't. I just feel like they were really restricted from admiring and complimenting each other, whereas women could always do that.
I only saw it in confident men. Because my dad was one of them. And my dad would always say, oh, yeah, good looking brother, man. Yeah, don't bring no ugly man over my house. No, uh-uh. And then if you know, I brought a boyfriend over, you're like, oh, you're a good looking brother. Okay, yeah, he can stay. But it was that confidence. But to me, I feel like now if my dad was alive and he said that about somebody, your father must be gay. He talking about I'm a good looking brother. How you know I'm good looking? How you know what a good looking brother look like? And it's like, this world has got y'all all screwed up now.
So you asked me why I think they're doing that and I didn't answer it, but I mm-hmm. want to ask you, why do you think they're pushing this stuff down our throats?
And it was said by a great comedian. I truly believe it all starts because it's what the white man is doing. The Caucasian man is doing. I feel like the moment he wakes up, if he wakes up tomorrow morning and be like, oh, heck no, this is out of control. We shutting this down. I feel like it will go to a more structured, hey guys, you know, put some more vitamin D in their food or something. I don't know. Whatever it is that can make a man more masculine and not want to tap into that feminine side no more. Start finding
the solution. Get the atrazine out of their processed food. You remember the study where the
guy
that the atrazine turned the frogs into feminine?
I saw that.
Take some of those chemicals out. But you know, I have learned mm-hmm. over the course of the last year or so that this has always been this is why I think they're pushing it, but I could be wrong. I don't think I'm right about everything or any, you know. I had learned that this has always been a part of white people's culture. And so I was encouraged to look back at the Greek statues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you see pedophilia. You see
torturing of little children
when they do sodomy. You see all torturing of that sort of stuff. And you see men on men, you see all of that. And I was reading some history where at some point they had sent their women to an island. And so, and they were saying in their literature that the relationships between men and boys is a central part of their society. So I think maybe, you know, none of us ever realized the kinds of agendas that were being pushed for a long time. Maybe they have been leading up to this for a very long time, and now it's bam in our faces and we're waking up. So it's a double whammy.
And if the world is changing to minority-based world, what way to keep it tamed if you make the men feminine?
Yep, because they're not going to be reproducing like that. Do you know what Dr. Umar said? And I know you think he's big old radical, but you know, he said something on a social media post that I had never thought about. Mm-hmm. He said that white people are afraid of black people because of the dominance of our genes and our DNA. Yeah. I didn't think about this. He said, if a black person mates with a white person, that baby's gonna be black. With an Asian person, with whatever it is you are, if you mix with us, mm-hmm. that baby is gonna show yeah. our characteristics. He said they can't do that.
Yeah.
He said the only way, and I've been thinking, is that true? He said the only way they can do that is if they mate with each other mm-hmm. in order to reproduce themselves. But if you put us in the mix, it's a done deal. Yeah. I could see you being frightened over that, but that never occurred to me, I have to say.
I feel like that's one of the issues, one of the many, many millions of issues. But I definitely think that is one. And it's one of the, it's probably up there in their top 10 is to, you know, the fact that we are a dominant race. And once that is in us, it's hard to kind of keep, you know, it's almost like the, well, you're hearing now that the mulattoes helped. Well, at least they're letting that part of history come out now, that the mulattoes helped to enslave and torture darker skinned black people because they put them on a pedestal. Right. Yes. And but once they realized.
We knew about the house slaves. Yeah. Remember they called people a house in a minute when I was born.
Oh, that's field. House in. Oh yeah. Field. We would see that you either feel in or the house in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like That was a sad part of history that they didn't want to talk about, but I always kept that in the back of my mind. How did that come about? Because from what I was always told by my great-greats, aunts and stuff, because they were lighter skinned, that it was much harder living in the house than it was the field. They used to always say that.
Oh, wow. Always my family looks damn near white and nobody ever told me that.
They said but it
they
was
made
much
it a lot harder. With Indians, and I think they managed to be a little bit outside of the system somewhat. I'm not really sure, but they look white. And
now that what I just said to you, now that was one of the times where it hit home to me because we went to
that's probably true though, because you're always up under them and subjected.
No, it's a 24-hour job. There was never a rest for the house because we went to a plantation house in North Carolina. I rolled my eyes because it was torturous for me. And I went into certain rooms in the house and the slaves who were still there, their souls that were still there, they were so broken that I couldn't barely get through the tour. And oh, wow. When they said this one where the kitchen was a 24-hour kitchen, right? 24-hour kitchen.
That's so oppressive.
It hit me like a ton of bricks because at that moment, you know, they ain't no staff. And it's not like this the evening staff, the 7 to, you know, 11 staff, the 3 to, no. This is the same person who has to get up 24 hours and wait on these people. And that, when I was in the kitchen, everyone that was on the tour kind of like looked at me and my mother. And I looked at my mother, I said, you know why they're looking at us? She said, well, I said, they felt what we just felt. She said, that's why they looked at us. I said, that's why. I said, it was almost like.
Were you the only blacks on the tour?
There were three other, there was an older, two other, there was an older lady and her two daughters, and they were older, but they weren't old.
Were you talking about what you were feeling all along? I mean, like, how did they know y'all felt that?
I think the energy collided. I think the energy, because when we left, my brother was just sitting there holding the steering, the one you've met. He was sitting there holding the steering wheel of the truck. And I said, shake it off. Let's go get a drink. I said, we all feel it. He said, did you feel it in the kitchen? I said, yeah. I said, I was going to make eye contact with you, but I knew he would have made me cry. And I didn't want to cry in front of those people because the person house we were in was a horrible slave master. He tortured his slaves. And we were hearing this story. And then when we got in the kitchen, something happened to all of us. Wow. You know, but the white people felt the connect. And at that moment, when she said this was a 24-hour kitchen, it was always open. And you see the stove and you see how hot it was and how close it was. And it wasn't much room to make magic happen, but they had to make it happen because you had this grand ballroom where they served all the food. And it just was so torturous.
But at least in the field, at some point you went back to that little old shack.
You had the cool breeze, if you never know, you know, but you had this hot house that you had to keep cool with fanning them. There was no central air. There was no ceiling fans. You fanned them cool, you know, with these big leaves. And yeah, it was torture.
It always gets me how we came from being the creator, the originator, the everything to being down this low. I am starting to learn some ways that occurred, but it still is like, man, what on earth? Why could we not withstand what happened to us?
Someone told me on my TikTok when I made a comment on somebody else's, I said, why can't we all band together now? And someone said, and I said, and also fight with the same intensity, read hence between the line. And someone said to me, because spiritually, physically, and mentally, we are not that cruel by nature. This guy said this to me.
So you did a white and black come together.
No, just blacks. It was something that was not kind to the black race that was being shown that's going on right now in Africa.
Oh, you mean like the slavery somewhere that?
Well, they're burning. Well, a lot of like African continent. I mean, people are burning down those clinics. They're burning down abortion clinics. They're burning down COVID clinics. They're burning down a lot of things that
in Africa. I know they burned down that daggone gay community center.
And they burned down that. They burned down that too. So white people had set up shop, you know, and Chinese people had set up shop in Africa. And right. They trying to fight back. Like, no, this is our country. You're not just going to come in and take over. So it's trickling down into our United States, you know. Like, they're starting to rebel. Like, okay, y'all over here, we don't want y'all getting inspired over here. So we're going to start attacking y'all. An abundance here. And it's, if you watch social media, you'll see new cases every day of the attack on us. You know, it's getting crazy. So I said, well, when are we all going to come together and band together with the same intensity? Like, as start fighting
people,
back.
When are all black people going to come
together? All black people. When are we going to start coming together and say, okay, enough is enough?
And then the other person said what to you?
The reason why we haven't done it is because we're physically, mentally, spiritually not that cruel. Because it takes a level of cruelty to be like, okay.
To become like your oppressor.
Yeah.
Well, the thing too that I will say, just as a tip for the 40 or 50 people who right now are currently watching us, is that we don't need to fight physically. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we fought physically, we would set ourselves up for failure because—
Well, that's what the history has told us.
History has said,
all the historians, like the Martin Luther Kings, the people of that statue has always said, South African president—
Mandela.
They all said that physical violence is not the issue. So
well, I don't believe that. And I don't believe in all that marching and getting
all said that
on you and dogs sick. I don't believe that.
And I'm not a physically violent person by nature. I'm not. But when I say but, I feel like we can fight with something else other than our physical fist. You know what I mean?
What I think is that back in 400 or plus years ago when this first started happening, mm-hmm. the way to fight was physical. I think that in today's time, we can look around the globe and see that all the nuclear arms, most of the other kind of weapons, mm-hmm. all of the thing, the armies, mm-hmm. the superior armies are really in their possession. So we would be setting ourselves up for massacre if we tried to fight them physically. Right. But you and I talk a lot about the spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where the war will be won. And that is where we are beginning to win, because people are, it's amazing, people are waking up. And but as you wake up,
do you think there's a God that's going to come down and save us?
No, I think what I just said, we're going to wake up and we're going to win the spiritual warfare, and we will be restored to our position of power. We're the caretakers of this earth. They're the ones who want to cut every tree, dig up every piece of gold and bauxite, get all the oil, pollute the air. They're just too much. We take care of the earth. I think that the earth will even... I just think that we win. And I think it's coming sooner than most people think, because people are beginning to wake up, get their spirituality and their mental in check, and then the physical follows.
So do you think they start listening to us more? I mean, I know we know who our followers are, and we can see people following us. I think it's way more than that, because I'm starting to see too much of our content out there now. And I'm just thinking,
I think YouTube will do that to you if you're conscious. They will suppress.
Yeah. Yeah. They were suppressed, but trust me, I see so much things you and I talk about verbatim on something else. And I'm like, there's no way you didn't get that from Kim and Tora. Like, there's just no way. And I'm just starting to see it more and
you
more.
You know, on my other channel, I shared a person's video that I admire. And I thought, mm-hmm. well, I put it in my, I have a playlist. And mm-hmm. if I think it's something that's beneficial, I'll put it in there. Mm-hmm. And then that lady, a couple days later, said, wow, people are sharing this. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any indication that she's watching my content.
Right, exactly.
There's something to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I really feel that way, because I'm too in the know. And so I know certain things that we talk about, the way we articulate certain things, and it's transcending, right? And it's like, I know genius minds think alike. I give you credit for that. But well, some of the things are just too coincidental that I'm like, you got that from us. Okay. And I feel like this conversation we're having tonight is so deep, because it's something that we all are feeling, but everybody's scared to talk about it. Everybody's scared to talk about it because everybody thinks somebody's going to come after them, censor them, meddle. And if you're out there doing no good, then you can't talk about it because you're afraid that the government's going to start looking into your no goodness. I feel like, you know, I've done enough good and bad in this life. You want to put it out there, you go right on ahead.
I'm
fine with that too. There's nothing you can do to hurt me, and nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't talk bad about me. You can't do nothing personally to me. So I'm not afraid to speak
I'm
my mind
and say who I am and what I've done in this world too. And I also believe, I think Martin Luther King said it, or
right.
maybe Malcolm X, mm-hmm. that you have to be willing to die for something.
Absolutely.
There are certain
Absolutely.
Things
that for what you believe in.
For. And this is one of them. If I can just get the message to a few people who can right. get it on to somebody else, then I can roll on out and y'all can keep the ball rolling. But this is something that is worth dying for.
Absolutely. And I feel like that the moment that we all realize that we have a voice, we should all use our voice. We should all talk about what we talk about. I mean, yes, you got to have your own private life and your own secrets and everything. I get that. But what we talk about that could change the world, we need to start speaking on it. You know, I know we don't have an Oprah Winfrey voice, but you don't live that high in the clouds, boo, that you don't know what we're talking about. Because people like me talk to people like you, and we tell you what we feel. And I understand that you can scratch at the surface, but you need to start digging in the surface now.
And also then it becomes a grassroots groundswell
yes.
that goes up. So we yes. see as many, when we talk about it, some of those people are gonna hear yep. it, they're gonna talk about it. And then they, remember that commercial, you tell two friends and so on
yep.
and so on.
Yep.
And it does work like that. And so a long time ago I haven't been doing it even for mm-hmm. a year yet, but with the Raising the Vibe channel, I really said to myself early on, if there's just a tiny bit of people, the same for this channel, as long as somebody's watching,
yeah.
we need to keep talking
yeah.
because we're impacting
someone. And like I say, listen to our pain. It's never going to go away. It's never going to get better. It's never going to fix. If the tables ever turn, at least you can say to yourself, you were in the fight with us. Yeah. So what would be the reason for everybody need to go down with that ship again? When right. you were in the fight trying to help us win, you saw that it was racism in the world. You saw that we were in pain. You saw that things were going on in our community that we didn't like, and you helped to fight with us to fix it. If everybody keeps burying their head and saying, well, that was the time, that used to be the time back then. Well, that's just how things were back then. No, that wasn't. It wasn't just how it was. It wasn't supposed, we are woke now. We're conscious. You know, our conscience are working for us. We're not just, you know, lying dead somewhere and I agree. There were some women that put some strides, but the past women lied dead. Their conscience was not working for them at all. I mean, most of them, they weren't.
You know who was awake though? Because this guy I know is now in Amsterdam or something, and he uh-huh. said, I'm in a lounge and they're playing Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire was woke. Listen to their lyrics now.
The Gap Band, they dropped the bomb on me, Tulsa, Oklahoma. They literally said, Tulsa, Oklahoma, they dropped the bomb on me.
Oh, that was the Gap Band.
Yeah, the Gap Band. That's what I just said. They were talking about Earth, Wind, and Fire, though. That was Tulsa, Oklahoma, though. They were telling you about Black Wall Street.
Everybody thought they were talking about, but they out now with it.
They
weren't talking about the move thing in Philadelphia where they dropped the bomb on them.
No, that was before that. That was before the Philadelphia when they dropped the bomb on them. They're from Tulsa.
Oh, you told me that. You did tell me that. That's the Gap Band. They were woke.
Let me tell you, James Brown, as crazy as he was.
Oh, no. Black Pop. Say it loud. What? I'm so proud. Yeah, James Brown was my, I'm with
Listen him. To the lyrics in that is even more inspiring because I just, you know, we love the hook.
I will look at the lyrics. And you know, when you talk about people being crazy or you know, he ended up being on drugs, you gotta think about all the stuff that man endured in this lifetime. It'll make you crazy. It'll make you do things at some point just to, I can't take it anymore. Let me get ahead of that.
Billie Holiday wore that cape too. You know what I mean? So can you only imagine what all of those people did for the Black culture and trying to rise up and rise us up? Because if they had their foot on their neck, they didn't want them to rise up. It's like, no.
And I will say what you were saying about the pain that continues to exist. We didn't intend to talk about, we didn't even talk about any of the things that other than the Amazon piece, because mm-hmm. it is so ever present in our lives. We have lived it and we continue to live it. And I do think that it just comes up because—
And it transitions into all the questions and all the comments we have and the even the topics we want to talk about. It all transitions in, you know?
It does. But I think we'll have to come to an end because we've had a couple of alarms go off over here. But I really enjoyed this and I hope it helps whomever.
Let's talk about Monique next week about our bonnets and our men.
I do want to talk about Monique and our bonnets on our next episode. And we wanted to talk about, we have notes, but we'll talk about Monique. We didn't mention her. So we'll talk about her and some other things next time. And as always, we appreciate you joining us and listening and sharing these conversations that we're having. And we look forward to seeing you again next time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.